Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Monday, the 7th of December, and I'm recording at, it looks like, 10:53 p.m., and that is Greenwich Mean Time here in incredibly mild weather in London. Okay, now, with the markets, nervous conditions, generally, choppy, volatile activity, but more on that in a minute, but first let's just have a quick look through what happened here today. Now, Japan, good gains in here, almost 1% for the Nikkei 225, a little less for the other indices. In China, mainland China, the Shanghai Composite was up a third of a percentage point. And the H shares and the HSI index, the Hong Kong indices, in other words, were a little bit lower. Taiwan, steady, up two-thirds of a percentage point. Then we had losses for South Korea. Also, India, less than half a percent there. Tiny gain for Australia. And also modest gains for Singapore, Malaysia, and Indonesia. Thailand is a bit softer. Okay, European indices were mostly firmer, but their gains were pegged back by weakness on Wall Street. Best gain on the day in Europe was Germany, and that gained 1.25%, up nearly 134 points, but it was, 40% higher near the high on the day, and continuing to rally following that very sharp sell-off that we saw last Thursday. Modest gains for the other European indices, with the exception of Spain and the UK, which reversed earlier gains to close a little lower by UK a quarter of a percentage point and Spain by a third of a percentage point. Now, looking at Wall Street, this pared back some of its losses, got them back under 1%, but the Dow was down two-thirds of a percentage point, the S&P 500 down 0.7 of a percentage point, NASDAQ composite almost 0.79. But as I say, they rallied back from those lows. But the volatility has been just extraordinary, because Wall Street had that sharp sell-off on Thursday and then a terrific rally on Friday, but you know, we're not getting any follow-through, so it gave up a little bit of ground in here today. More on that in a moment. Rest of the Americas a little easier, although Canada's was a bigger decline, down 2.37% because of the weakness of oil. Now, about that U.S. volatility, it's considerable here on a very short-term, day-to-day basis. One, you've got the nutty machines in there, which are aggravating it. But also, clearly, there's lots of disagreement, and that's maybe not so surprising, because while stock markets have been strong, they had a very good October in pushing higher, but in getting back towards the highs for the major U.S. indices, such as the NASDAQ and the S&P and the Dow, with the two NASDAQ indices doing best of all. But in getting back to those highs, well, that was impressive. Inevitably, that led to some profit-taking, and that choppy activity, which we are seeing, is a little bit of a battle between the buyers and sellers in here overall. And there's plenty to be nervous about. a little bit of apprehension, tiny bit. I think this is a minor factor before the Fed rate hike of a quarter percentage point, and a little later this month. And then there's all the Daesh business, the Middle East unrest, the fact that commodity prices remain very weak, and that's pressuring certainly all resources shares virtually. And while it's a very bull, the low energy costs, and you know my view, I remain convinced that OPEC is, for all intents and purposes, finished, and that those highs up over $100 that we were seeing, oh, you only have to go back to June of last year. And oil up in that sort of $115 range. We're never going to see that again, in my opinion. I've said that on many occasions since then. What that means is that oil producers have not got the money to buy goods from the developed economies and some of the emerging economies as well, but particularly the developed economies. And if, for instance, consider that you may feel that this is a good thing, and it probably is, but consider the military spending by the Saudis and other Gulf states. Well, that's going to drop right off, and it's not going to pick up anytime soon. And the region is unstable because those cradle-to-grave bribes, welfare benefits, are not going to be replicated here going forward. So that's going to be choppy. Are we going to have to worry forever and a day about Daesh? I certainly don't think so. It's a problem today, and but it's a problem that may, well, I'll give an optimistic forecast on that we may be able to wrap up much of the Daesh problem, certainly weaken them considerably before the end of next year. That's largely because you've got the UN's blessings on all this. So we've got international forces now engaged in this, but on a longer term basis, it's just not going to carry on because it's a death cult, and they don't have an attractive long term future, let alone the ability to set up a state on their own. But it's causing plenty of anxiety and worry and nervousness here now, and sadly, it's costing a steady loss of life as well. Now, moving on here, against this background of choppy activity and a whole lot of nervousness, don't forget that we've got positive monetary policies, and that quarter point rate hike in the U.S. isn't going to change that a whole lot. We have also central banks that are still concerned about the disinflationary, deflationary pressures. So they're not going to be in a rush to raise interest rates. QE is still continuing from those countries, the European Union, for the European Union, for Japan, for China, and several other countries. That's certainly going to continue. So more money being thrown into the system. That may or may not cushion their economies, but it does help stock markets. Seasonally, we're in an attractive period, and that continues right on through April. So overall, I'd say we're between now and the end of April, I would expect markets, most stock markets, to be higher. Moving on to U.S. Government bonds, base building in the yields, in my opinion, but I've been saying that for a long time. But you can get lengthy base formations in these big instruments. But U.S. 10-year yield has fallen back down in the last couple of days to 2.2%. I wasn't here on Friday, as you may recall, but when I was here on Thursday, that yield was at 2.32, so 10 ticks off that high. Also, the VIX. Oh, I wrote down VIX and I didn't bring it up. So, hold on just a quick second here, and we will see that VIX. And it comes out at 15.84. That is up 1 full point. Okay. Just making a note of that. Okay. Now, looking elsewhere, dollar index. This is edging higher. Remember, it had that big downward dynamic. Failing to maintain the break above that 100 level on Thursday, only last Thursday. But it moved up a little bit on Friday, and it's up another 0.386 of a point. So it's at 98.74. I would love to see that fall back again. Of course, the market doesn't care what I would love to see, nor what anyone else would love to see. But my reason for that is quite simple, and you probably recall it. If the dollar index does fall back, that would take some of the heat off countries which had borrowed in US dollars when it was lower down. And it would certainly take heat off the US multinationals, which are doing okay right now, but if a dollar pushes higher, there are considerable risks. And there is that rule of thumb estimate that a 10% rise in the US dollar can, on average against other currencies, can easily knock 1 percentage point off US GDP growth. So I don't think anybody really wants to see that. And we hope that, or I certainly hope that does not happen. Now, elsewhere, precious metals in here weak today. Palladium at 555 and change, down over $11. Silver not doing too badly, but it's down almost $20 here at 1431. It did well on Friday, and today's high was 14.595. But it's hard for these things to hold, hard for any of these industrial commodities and precious metals to hold gains in here, as we know. Platinum down $17 and change to 863, and gold bullion down nearly $16, 10.071. So soft, but get ready for the big sell-offs here. WTI crude down $2.32 in here to 37.65. So these are hitting new lows. The Brent is down $2.34 to 40.66. Now, you know why that's actually happened in here. Because while the Saudi oil minister had, he certainly was non-committal, but said that they would consider everybody's interests and decide what they were going to do. But he's not in charge, and it's number two man there, the that 30-year-old prince in Saudi Arabia, who's in charge of so many. So many departments making the decision on this. So, you know, OPEC is really broken up in dismay for many of these countries that are losing serious amounts of money, and nobody's profiting from this here overall, but the Saudis are going to tough this out here for a little bit longer, and that's pushed the oil price down. Now, we just want to be careful here. I gather from reports that there are very large short positions. That will hardly surprise any of my listeners. Large short positions in those oil contracts. And we also know that all it would take is just a decision by Saudi Arabia to say that they were going to cut production by, a billion and a half barrels, and you could get that pushing up. You could get an explosively sharp rally. Again, I don't think it could get beyond 70 to 80 U.S. dollars at the very best. At very best, and probably it'd struggle to get beyond $60. But that's a huge rally when you're talking about Brent crude at 40. So it'd be a 50% rise getting up to 60. So I'd be careful there. Oh, it's tempting to want to go in and start to buy these in terms of futures contracts, but that is a game of catching a falling knife, and can be extremely expensive, as you know, unless you catch it at exactly the right time, and that's not so easy. But I do think though that we will see a sharp rally here between now and, let's say, well over the next 6 to 8 months, I'll put it that way. I think we will get a sharp rally here, because I think that the pressure on these oil producers is growing monthly, and they do know. They're reluctant to accept the fact that they're unable to control this market anymore. And if they believe that they can, they've got their heads in the sand. And I think they will increasingly realize that the most sensible move is just to cut OPEC production by, say, $1 billion, $1.5 billion. And you'll get the rally. That would gnaw at at them, because they know that the Russians and other producers are not going to come in and join them. So there are a lot of conflicting emotions, let's put it that way, that they're facing. But the reality is they're losing much too much money in here, and they can reduce that loss. But I've said it so many times over the last year, we are never going to see those oil prices up above that $100 level again. Or I'll put it this way, if we did, it would be some extraordinary event and a very brief result, because just the continued expansion of the renewables, and then we're going to get more nuclear power, particularly with some of these molten salt smaller reactors. And then we're going to get the substitutions. So oil is going to be less important in future, although it's still hugely important today, but in gradual long-term decline. Okay, what else here? In terms of other currencies, well, it's a story. It's all about the dollar. The Chinese renminbi has been weaker in the last couple of days, I think they want to hold a peg against the U.S. dollar, but I don't think they can. And that's the bottom line. And really, whether it's what happens in the short term is more of a political game, but in the long term, that U.S. dollar is going to strengthen further. The U.S. economy is in a strong position relative to other global economies, as I've said on so many occasions. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.